the Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you? That was quite alarming for those of us who don't have hair.
I was just going to say, what were you afraid of? The link of the hair loss to COVID?
Yes.
Does it mean that those who have less hair are more susceptible, or is it the other way around?
I don't know. I think I feel like it's a comorbidity, but anyway, very, very scary indeed.
Yeah, I mean, and the whole COVID story, unfortunately, is scary and, you know, just continues to get even worse in Israel. Again, an increase in the number of people who have been diagnosed in a single day. I think the latest number was over 4,000 now, and more stringent restrictions being put into place starting from next week. People gathering outdoors will be required to wear masks. It's very difficult to go back to this. It really is tough to return.
I would
back
imagine
to,
emotionally, psychologically, it must be.
It is very, very difficult, and unfortunately, seems to be little choice now. People, we just need to go back to some of the restrictions that were in place previously. Green card system being re-implemented on a more stringent basis. The Minister of Defense announced that 1,000 reservists will be called up to support the Ministry of Health's activities relating to the pandemic. 500 medics are going to be recruited to assist the Health Ministry's vaccination efforts. A few hundred thousand people more have received their third dose of the vaccine. And there is a feeling that we're kind of running again into an unknown situation where we felt like it was kind of under control for a while. But now it's certainly losing control. Another list of countries have been added to restrictions, countries that Israelis are not allowed to travel to, countries from where people will return from who will be required to go into an automatic isolation. I did promise to send you the restriction list, the criteria that have been laid down to put countries onto the blacklist, and I haven't done that, but I will do so. I think it's important for people to know that there is a list of criteria which are being adhered to, and more countries being added to the blacklist as we speak.
Charles says, "What hair have you got to lose?" Well, I would be offended, but it's actually, he raises a very good point. I certainly can't.
I think it's what do you have to lose at all, Howard? I mean, right. I think those of us with less hair have nothing to lose now, right?
Exactly. It's hardly a worry. All right. We've got a lot of different subjects to talk about. The one that I want to start with is the situation with regard to a ship being reported to be heading towards Iran from its position off the coast of the UAE after 5 ships reported losing control yesterday. What is going on in this area?
It almost sounds a little bit, it feels a little bit like that situation that we had some years ago off the coast of Somalia, where ships were afraid to be too close to the coast of Somalia because there were these hijacking gangs that were roaming around there. This is what it like feels like right now in the area of the Gulf, because apparently the Asphalt Princess is currently heading towards the Strait of Hormuz after apparently being hijacked yesterday. That's apparently the intelligence information that we are being fed right now.
So this is now another vessel. This is not the same one we spoke about yesterday.
No, this is a completely different incident. The one that we spoke about yesterday that was attacked, 2 people were killed during the course of that attack. That vessel is now apparently in Dubai.
Okay, so that vessel's safe. This is now another vessel that was hijacked yesterday.
This is now a different one. Exactly. Okay. This is a different vessel that was hijacked yesterday and claims to be on the way to towards the Straits of Hormuz. And that is one of 5 vessels that all pretty much at the same time reported a so-called loss of control, all at the same time around in the same area. 5 different vessels reported a loss of control. This one seems to have been boarded by 8 or 9 people, and they seem to have seized the ship, literally hijacked the ship, and are moving it towards the Strait of Hormuz. All fingers are being pointed towards Iran at the moment, being responsible for these activities. I'm not quite sure what's happened to the other vessels that claim to have lost control. We understand that one vessel actually hit an underwater device, and that could have been a drone of some sort, or a some sort of an explosive under the water that caused it to cause some sort of an incident at that moment. But that one ship apparently has been boarded. It's apparently a bitumen tanker. There are four other ships that reported loss of control. The Iranians are vehemently denying any connection at all. Revolutionary Guards claim that, according to information from security sources, Iran's armed forces and all branches of the Islamic resistance in the Middle East have nothing to do with the incidents in the Gulf of Oman. That was a statement that was released yesterday by the Iranian Revolutionary Guards. There is no clear evidence of any Israeli connection to any of these five ships at all. So this is now piracy expanding beyond just simply the tit for tat that went on between Israel and Iran, from what we can gather. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has said that there is solid proof that Iran is responsible and that no one has any doubt about who is behind this incident. So really there's quite a lot of piracy going along in that area of the Gulf of Oman. That happened the day before yesterday. And now also just off the coast of the United Arab Emirates. And it seems as if this is something that's set to expand. We can't see that this is going to calm down anytime soon. And of course, this will no doubt affect international shipping. All of a sudden, we're going to see prices and costs going up to ship goods, petrol prices going up and things like that, because the moment there's this uncertainty on the international waters about how goods and services can be shipped from place to place, we know what happens, right? The prices just go up immediately.
Very, very scary situation. It's going to be, there's no doubt. I mean, if there's five vessels that have now been captured, this is a particularly well-coordinated affair.
Yeah, it's not clear that all five vessels were hijacked as such. The one we know from what has been reported has been boarded and hijacked. The other four had some incident. Whether there might have been an explosive or something like that is not quite clear, but certainly there have been incidents. It's not clear, though, that they were all hijacked. Nonetheless, I mean, to the extent that things are uncertain and unsafe on the high seas, that's just not a good situation.
Not at all. Really quite unbelievable. The stones of the Western Wall underwent their biannual check yesterday. I love this. Ahead of the high holidays in the Jewish calendar. Tell us about this.
Yeah, so this is a manual inspection of the Western Wall stones that takes place twice a year, once before Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and once before Pesach, Passover. They actually have a lift that goes up with engineers and who go and they actually inspect each and every stone in the construct of the Western Wall.
Literally leaving no stone unturned. Mm.
Exactly, leaving no stone unturned. But they examine the stability of those stones around that area of the Western Wall Plaza that's so very well known. So many people have visited and continue to visit. And also inside of Wilson's Arch. And they have a detailed and a comprehensive record of each and every stone in the construct of the wall. They use a crane, they move from stone to stone, they check the durability and the maintenance level of each one, they compare it to the data that they've collected from previous inspections. All of this, of course, taking place under the halachic supervision of the Western Wall Rabbi, Rabbi Shmuel Rabinowitz, in conjunction with the Israeli Antiquities Authority and, of course, engineers of the Western Wall Heritage Foundation, all being done according to strict halachic restrictions that have been determined and laid down by Jewish legal authorities and chief rabbis of Israel. And they go about doing this in order to make sure that the construct is safe for the onset of the high holiday season. And once the month of Elul starts, which will be only in a very, very short period of time, the Sephardi Jews start the period of repentance, and they start reciting slichot in the early hours of the morning, generally. The Sephardi Jews will, the Ashkenazi Jews will join the prayers ahead of the high holidays a week or 10 days before Rosh Hashanah. But this becomes a very, very busy time, particularly the Western Wall, and of course the inspection needs to be done before that in order to inconvenience as few people as possible. A biannual inspection that takes place. But what I find fascinating is that each stone in the Western Wall construct has an identity card, and that every inspection is recorded, every change to the way in which that stone is set is recorded in order just to keep proper record of it, to make sure it's safe, and of course to keep record of its history. Very, very fascinating process that is undertaken.
Yeah. Philip says the ship's story, it seems like a James Bond story, The Spy Who Loved Me. And Ansan says, how do you just lose control of ships? It sounds like the Bermuda Triangle. It pretty much sounds like Iran, if you ask me. All right. Other stories that we wanted to cover, and I love this as well. Israel's been ranked second in the world for coronavirus innovation.
Yeah, I think this is again a fascinating one because it's not quite clear what they mean by coronavirus innovation. The story is that the coronavirus innovation maps innovators that have risen to the challenge to leverage solutions that they might have in order to help pandemic-related issues. So Israel apparently was the source of 38 pandemic-related innovations on a list of more than 1,300 innovations that was compiled by a crowd called Startup Blink, who I've never really heard of before. But they went on to say that Israel is a relatively small country that has always excelled in innovation, and it's no surprise that Israel has overperformed, as they've described it, in creating solutions to combat COVID-19 pandemic. And other than producing innovation, Israel has also deployed mass vaccination faster than any other country. And these were the quotes that came out of Startup Blink. And one of the strongest, Israel was placed strongest in the category of prevention, treatment, and diagnostics. So several innovations were singled out as being particularly notable. Temi robots designed in Tel Aviv has been deployed in hospitals in China, Japan, and the U.S. to enable COVID-19 patients to consult with their doctors and to automate the temperature-taking process remotely. Then another Haifa-based company has developed a wearable respiratory monitoring system that can accurately monitor the respiratory pattern of respiratory disease patients, such as those with asthma, sending alerts to patients' smartphones and, of course, their medical teams. And there's also a vaccine tracker that is maintained in Tel Aviv that is found to be noteworthy as a live dashboard of how COVID-19 vaccine is being administered around the world. In addition to that, Teva Pharmaceuticals was recognized as the champion chloroquine treatment manufacturer, and Tel Aviv was ranked 6th amongst the most innovative in the world, 6 amongst all the cities in the world in terms of general innovation. So an interesting report. I'm not quite sure how much we can really, how much reliance we can place on this, but nonetheless, it's just fascinating to see that some positive things are really coming out of this pandemic, the way that innovation is being deployed.
Absolutely, absolutely right. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.